sent from his throne above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule this earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
Right, good evening to you. Good evening to you. Hey, bring it in, bring it in. We are going to be in 2 Chronicles, chapters 13, 14, 15, maybe 16, maybe 14. Maybe, we'll see how it goes here tonight. But 2 Chronicles, chapter 13 is where we're going to pick it up. And we left off chapter 12 last week. But remember, hey, be getting the word out. Spread it through your social media. A Cry for Awakening conference starts May 26th. But remember, second session is May 27th. And then third session is May 31st on my show. Then May 31st later than the Man Up show. It's session 4 and session 5 will be on June 2nd. May 26th and June 2nd. Those sessions will be heard on Word is Truth Radio, Calvary Chapel Fargo. Go to their website, find out their link for their own internet radio station. Has the same type of mobile player or online player as we do. They're in the Blue Ruse network of internet radio stations. And then all the other sessions will be on Bible Radio. But find out the times. And again, this is a unique and innovative and integrated way of doing a conference. So instead of you going someplace for a couple of days, going conference sessions after sessions after session, we're going to spread it out. And remember, you'll have to record it yourself. But sessions 6 through 14 and sessions 16 and 17 will only be live. You have to record them yourself if you want to do it. They won't be rebroadcast. But we'll go from there. And that starts May 26th. Again, put this on your social media. Get the word out, and then the content matter from each session is already on there. Email us in your questions that you'll have, and we'll answer those on live as well. And if you're also interested in being part of a live part of the broadcast of any one of those sessions, let us know so we can get you in for that. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 13, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. I ask you again, to Lord, to be that and lift it up in our lives. May your Holy Ghost just come upon us here this evening. May we focus upon you. May you bind all the technical difficulties and all the demons and devils who are trying to upset and do things right now. We just ask that this message go clear and forth boldly, Lord. I ask for your Holy Ghost to be doing that. So we just praise you and thank you. And may we all leave here tonight more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than when we came here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the kingdom is divided under Solomon's son, Rehoboam. We've already seen the last couple of weeks. He was going to make things worse for the kingdom. Could have made him easy. Could have had a reprieve. And we're going to see him battling and doing some things. Well, in chapter 12, he died. Slept with the fathers, his fathers. And we see his son now come to power. And is reigning on the throne. Let's pick it up at chapter 13. Now, in the 18th year of Jeroboam, remember, Jeroboam was asked to come back from Egypt. He was a cruel man. He was a harsh. He was mercenary. He was a fighter. He was a slugger. His brethren in Israel, the northern kingdom is known as the northern 10 tribes that split. They're called Israel. He hides out in Egypt. They want him to come back. They have a sense that Rehoboam is not going to be that good of a king. They probably saw it early in his upbringing. He came to the throne when he was 41 years old. They could probably tell from his character what is going on. And so they brought Jeroboam back, and they said, if this doesn't work out with him, we want you to be king over us. Question, why do you want someone to always rule over you? I mean, we're a religious lot. Why is it that we have begun in the Spirit, that which is a move of the Holy Spirit in our lives, doing things, but yet we want to be, again, under a yoke of slavery, of rules and regulations? We can either have a legal relationship or a loving relationship. Legal relationship, do everything perfect. Matthew 5:48, be perfect, therefore as my heavenly Father is perfect. Or you can have a loving relationship. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, you get to decide. You get to decide tonight. And so in chapter 13 of 2 Chronicles, it says, now in the 18th year of Jeroboam, began Abi. And we're just going to say Abi because I'm going to have a hard time with his name all night long. So Abi, to reign over Judah. And he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abi and Jeroboam. And Abi set in battle array with his army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor. And Abi stood up on Mount Zeram, which is in the Mount Ephraim, and said, hear me, thou, O Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought you not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over to Israel, to David forever, even to him and his sons by a covenant of salt? He's going to try to give him a history lesson. You know, there's all this fighting going on, all these things that are going on, but don't you realize? And he's going to point out to him, you guys are in the wrong. Now, Rehoboam split the kingdom up. That's Solomon's son, grandson of David. But you guys are in the wrong. And so here, he's going to give him a little history lesson there. And 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 6 says, yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tenderhearted and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for gods. You can go back to 1 Kings chapter 12 for that one. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord and the sons of Aaron and the Levites? Remember the last few chapters, all those who wanted to worship the Lord, those who were serving. There was all these Levitical cities throughout the kingdom of Israel. And those up in the north started booking down to the south where the temple is and said, hey, look, we're not going to be worshiping there. Jeroboam sets up false prophets or false priests to do the things. They just had a picture. They just had a picture of what it looked like, and they were trying to reproduce that up in the north. So again, you can also cross-reference that even with 1 Timothy, when it says that there's some that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You have a lot of people who can have that, that they can have that prestige, they can have that look there. But, okay, so just look at me for a moment. You online, look at your cell phones. So Rehoboam was bad. They could have now, after Rehoboam was dead, they could have come to Abi and said, okay, look, your dad's gone. It's been 41 years. We want to be a united kingdom. We want to be a united kingdom. And so now let's make the deal with you. Will you be easy on us with this? Can we somehow, see, that's the thing about reconciliation. You've got to both want to reconcile. And after 41 years of him reigning, they could have said, hey, okay, we want to come together now. Rehoboam really messed up this whole deal, so how about you? We're ready, we're always ready for reconciliation. They could have brought that to him, but no. Listen, those who get in this power, what do? They stay in power, and then they do what? They increase their power. And so here, they could have said, okay, now's the time. Maybe Abi, we can be working with him. Abi shows up and says, hey, we're supposed to be United Kingdom here. But he's shown up with 400,000 guys, and he's going to try to legislate that they come back together. It's my right. I'm the king now, and I want to reign over a united kingdom, and I'm going to kill you if you don't. I'm going to take it by force. How would that sound as in a marriage proposal? Marry me or I'll kill you. Marry me or it's going to be worse for you if you don't marry me. And so here, and he tells them here in verse 7, and there are gathered unto him vain men and the children of Belial and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam. Against Rehoboam. Solomon, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tenderhearted and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David? And ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves which Jeroboam made you for gods, and have not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be priest of them that are no gods. You can cross-reference that with Exodus chapter 29, Exodus 29. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. I want you to underline that verse right there, put a mustard stain by it, something. It's going to be an important verse for you. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense and showbread, and also set thy in order upon thy pure table and the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. You have forsaken him. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain. And his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. No civil war here. Listen, this is what God wants. He wants a united kingdom. I'm ready to unite us all. God is with us. There's a lot of evidences. You have to go back to some of the other chapters in 1 and 2 Kings to see that. And now you think to withstand the Lord? Look at verse 13 of chapter 13, 2 Chronicles. But Jeroboam caused an ambush to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambush was behind them. So you're thinking, hey, I'm just going to be fighting the enemy in front of me. He's got him behind him. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. As the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abi and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abba and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time. And the children of Judah prevailed because, listen, verse 18, because. There's a lot of clauses. If you follow me, if you confess your sins, if you do this, then I'm going to do that. Because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. They cried out. I'm sure they had a lot of prayer time. I'm sure they had a lot of stuff. They knew God was sending them to battle. They got 400,000. He's got 800,000. All of a sudden, they're surrounded. And now what do they do? Help! That's a prayer. That's a prayer, people. They cried out to the Lord. They relied upon the Lord. And so here, because they relied upon the Lord, their fathers. And Abi pursued after Jeroboam and took cities from him. Bethel, which with the towns thereof, and Jeshana, which is the towns thereof, and Ephraim within the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abi. And the Lord struck him, and he died. And Abijah waxed mighty and married 14 wives and begat 22 sons and 16 daughters. What a verse. You getting emboldened with this? Well, we're going to see where this is going to lead to. And the rest of the acts of Abi, well, and his ways and his sayings are written in the story of the prophet Edom. We really don't have that book, but we do have his exploits. Listen, King, you can rationalize all you want that, hey, I'm only marrying 14 women. My pops, he married 700, and had 300 concubines. Grandpa, he had 300 wives, 700 concubines. I guess I'm okay. I'm only marrying 14. No. It's not good. Look what happens here. So God is victorious because they relied upon the Lord. And now we're going to see pride and arrogance come in. And now this, let's equate it to either ministry or what's happening is that it's growing. This kingdom is growing. Jeroboam, we see, had other opportunities. They could have reconciled. They could have said, okay, Rehoboam is gone. Abijah is here. He's a better guy. Let's have the United Kingdom. Jeroboam could say, okay, look, let's have the United Kingdom. But look what he did. Jeroboam never, as he ruled Jerusalem or Israel, he never took steps to make sure they were always in a position ready to be reconciled. Guys, catch that one? He got rid of the priests. Want to get rid of the real worship. I want to get rid of all the other things. I want to chase everybody away. I'm going to give them false gods to worship because we know everyone likes to worship, so we're going to give them something to worship here in calves. We're going to continue this idol worship up in Tel Dan and down in Bethel, the house of the Lord, the house of bread there in Bethel. I'm going to set up these places. People are going to come thinking that they're getting close to God, but there are no gods at all. Jeroboam was setting up his own kingdom in his own power. They did not say, you know what, we're going to succeed from the kingdom until you come in line with the Lord. And we're going to be over here because you're not walking with the Lord. And as soon as one of David's family, then we're going to be reconciled. So now it came time to be reconciled, to be one kingdom. So Jeroboam had his opportunities. Israel had their opportunity. We know from the other accounts there that God sent Abijah to go battle, and now you can be subdued. Listen. You're going to be a united kingdom, either by legal or by loving relationship. It's your choice. And so here in chapter 14, underline that one. So, it's not going to turn out to be good. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In the days that the land was quiet, 10 years, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. So that's good. You know, Solomon lost his mind for a while, came back to the Lord. Abby did kind of real good there for a while. Now we're going to see Asa come in there, and he's going to continue it on. Which one of you in your families, I'm that family member. I'm that family member in the Jechelis side and the elder side. I'm the one who broke the mold, who changed everything. And again, I have got, you know, kids and grandkids to show it, and still married to the same woman. I mean, all these things. This September will be 30 years. It'll be there. And so, that's the testimony they have. And I just want to see my kids walk with the Lord. But I'm going to find out how well have I did a job with them, and also if they're going to pass that on to their kids and how their relationships with the Lord's going to be. That's what I'm looking forward to. And so, Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. Wait a minute. His pops did good and reigned and heard the things of the Lord, but yet why is he breaking down these altars in the high places and the groves and doing that? How did those pop up? Little by little. Compromise here, compromise there. So those things are there. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah and the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Make a note there. I mean, there could be skirmishes and a little turmoil around you, but God can give you peace in the midst of all that. But he gave the land rest 10 years. God just wants to bless them. There you go. In other words, if you do the things right that God calls us, each and every one of us, to do, you will have peace in your lifetime. You'll have peace in your time. Maybe not peace around everyone else who's trying to come, but you'll have peace in your time. You'll have peace in your life. You'll have peace that goes by all understanding by doing the things. But you have to stay ahead of it. You have to be on guard. You have to be watching it. You got to see those things. Like even Solomon. Solomon, speaking from experience, it says it's the little foxes that get into the vineyards and ruin the whole thing. Because what do? They eat down at the roots. But you don't see the whole grapevine. You don't know the whole grapevine is dead. Once it's disconnected from its source, it's dead and it's dying, but the grapes ripen and ripen, and then finally you look at the grapevine. He says it's those little foxes that get in there that ruin the vineyard. You got to be on guard for those things. They're going to pop up. Solomon's speaking from experience as well. And so here, that the Lord had given him rest. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. Understand this. God doesn't prosper you first, so then you'll be good and do those things. You do that which is right in the Lord, in your path, and that God has set out for you in your walk with him, and then he's going to prosper you. But in this fast-paced, you know, give it to me now, me generation type thing, it's just, you know, I got to have these things now. I got to negotiate this. What are the benefits I get out of this? What do I get out of this? What's in it for me? And how should I decide? And I'll do those things. And so here, so they built and they prospered. In verse 8, and Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 200, and 80,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Remember, Benjamin's up in the northern kingdom. So this thing's united now under Abi. Now there's some things that go on. Abijah is a really good king for the most part. Asa comes in. The kingdom's kind of united right now. And now you got hundreds of thousands of men from the northern, which is going to be considered Israel, the northern kingdom. They're united, and they're all serving. This is good. We're serving the military here. We're doing these things. This is great. Verse 9, and there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, and host of a thousand and 300 chariots, and he came unto Mershah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah and Mershah. And Asa cried unto the Lord. Verse 11. I like those prayers. It isn't, O Lordeth, cometh to me today, O Goddeth of wondereth. Just, he cried out, Lord! I got all these men, got this battle, got everything going before me. And then they cried out to the Lord. So here, and he cried out unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee. In thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, here it is, underline this one. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Listen, whether it be with a little or great, I know you can do this. Now, I have prayer. A friend of mine emailed me today, and just this week, how God just puts this message together. I know what I'm studying, but a guy emails me today as I'm studying. I shouldn't have got on email today. I just started getting carried away. I was just going to look a little bit. There's one particular email I needed to see. It was real important. And then, hey, what do you think about healing ministries? And I'm just like, and this guy's come back to the Lord after being on backslidden for many years. And I said, well, do you mean like Kenneth Copeland, Hagen, Benny Hinn, healing ministries? I said, I believe in the ministry of healing and the gift of healing, but do you mean healing ministry? And emails back, exactly. That's what I was thinking too. I mean, these healing ministries. If there's really these healing ministries, go into the hospitals. Why are you having rallies and telling the sick to come here? Shouldn't you go to the sick? Empty out the hospitals. Go do that. But people can come to me, and I do. Someone comes to me and says, hey, and I have. I have prayed for people who are missing limbs, and I'm like, hey, God can do it. He does it with earthworms. They can grow back. Starfish, you know, octopus, they can grow tentacles back and stuff. And we've we've prayed for them, and then they don't grow, they don't get a leg back, and they go, what's up with that? I go, God obviously loves worms more than you. What kind of a, you are a horrible pastor. I want to see it. But I can tell you, I'll straight up, I got the faith for headaches. That's it. I would rather, if you need prayer for some type of healing, don't tell me what it is. Just come and get prayer. You tell me you got cancer, well, I'm not going to pray for you. You want to go to be with Jesus, right? Let's not hold up the process. You are horrible. I know. Don't let it, there should be no complaining at all from anyone in this church. No one should ever get mad at me that I didn't come to your hospital room and pray for you to get better or whatever. It's not going to happen. Tell me you want me to pray. Say, Pastor, I'm at death's door. Please pray for me and push me through. That's what I will do for you. That's on my cards. When at death's door, call the pastor of death. He'll push you through. All right? You want to be there. But don't tell me what you want God to heal. I'll agree with God, just heal him. What is it? Because if you don't tell me, sometimes you get healed. Like the person who came to me one time, well, it's a common thing. They come to me and they pray, and I'm thinking they got headaches or whatever. And then they come back later, hey, I've had this disease for 8 years, and it's gone now. Really? I thought I was just praying for a headache. Yeah, glad you didn't tell me that. I don't have faith for that, but I want to see it. Someone asked me, Lord, I want to be healed. I want to be blind. I want legs back. I'll pray for it. I've seen some healings in my life. I've never seen a leg be just poof right back in there. That would freak me out. I'd probably cut it off and take it around and show everybody, God healed this person. And look what he did. He put this leg back on. I mean, that's probably what I would do. But here's the thing, man. Be careful who you have praying for you. I have faith for those things. God can with a little or with great. He can. His theology is correct here. But what's he doing and what's the nation doing? They're crying out to the Lord. They're depending upon him. And he lets them know here. But look what he says here. Regardless, this is like what we're going to see later in Daniel. We're going to see with the Meshach, Radshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, this is spoiler alert. If you haven't read it, he throws them in the fire. He says, I'm going to throw you in the fire if you don't bow down and worship me. Whether we burn up and consume in the fire or God saves us, we don't care. We're not worshiping you. We're not bowing down to you. And if God wants to save us from the fire, that's on him. But we're not bowing down to you. Our part is to not bow down to you. And so, yeah, well, then obviously they were saved in the fire, whatever. And so here, look what he says here. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto and the Ethiopians were overthrown that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. They carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Ger, for fear of the Lord came upon them that spoiled all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Do you know this is ascertained fact? If you're not a student of history, Shishak, in the last few chapters, who came up out of Egypt, archaeologists, I think around 1939, just a date floating around my head, don't quote me on that, but around 1939, found various articles and the recording of Shishak leaving Egypt and going into Israel and being paid off with all those gold shields and everything. God said, don't fight against him. They didn't fight against him, but now you got to appease him. So they get, that's a record of this. These battles that I'm talking to you about, these are not fables. In Ethiopian history, in the Lubians, who don't even really exist anymore, this documentation is around, and these accounts are still there. Chapter 15, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you. Listen, the Lord is with you. Listen, I'm just giving you a few passages to underline. Here's one of them right here. The Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Hey, folks, I'm real proud of each and every one of you here tonight. So far, all right? You made it here so far. If 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. New Testament, especially 1 John, written to Christians, to believers. What's that word? If you sin? Yes. We have that go-between. Romans 2:4, for it is the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. Romans 2:4. Not it is the brutality of God's 2x4 that he will whack your head off if you step out of line. Romans 2:4, it is the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. And so here, so the prophet comes to him. And if you're not catching it, why does he even need to tell him? You see, each one of us, as the book of James tells us, is tempted. All right, but temptation isn't sin. Each one of us, again, are tempted. Then we give birth to sin. We start thinking about it, and sin brings forth death. Each and one of us are tempted by our own evil desires. People say, oh, when something happens, oh, why are you tempting me, Lord? I'll say, stop it. The Lord's not tempting you. You're prone to that. You want to do that. That's why it's not a temptation. It's right here. Go around it. Walk away. Do what you have to do. And so here, if the Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found. He found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. So there's some spiritual strength that's needed here, some physical strength, and your works will be rewarded. This isn't just sit down in a Barca lounger for Jesus. This isn't just, it never says in the Bible, sit and just rest and hang out and ooze and goo, be a couch potato, pew potato, all that kind of stuff. It tells us here that your works will be rewarded. You can cross-reference this with 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, hey man, you're working too hard, kick back. Hey man, you're doing too much, you're going to burn out. You know, too much of a spiritual thing is a bad thing. Too much of the love of Jesus. No, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be therefore steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. And so here, be therefore strong, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Wait a minute! Weren't these things already taken out? Listen, my wife does now too, because she's married to me. And it used to be every year, but it's every so often now. We'll just do a spiritual cleaning in our house. We'll start going through things and getting rid of things. And we've also learned to never give it to the stuff at the rummage sale. Stuff that doesn't reminds us of a sin, bad people who used to be here and gave us gifts but never really meant it. We don't want to see it in your homes anymore. So we thought, well, maybe we'll make a few. We'd realize the first few rummage sales, like, oh, we didn't kind of think that one through, that our people shop at these rummage sales too. Okay, we're going to. So things that we never, ever want to see again, we either burn up, throw away, or sell or give away, do something else, because we don't want to see it again. And so let this be a reminder that sometimes that you might need to go through your house, do a spiritual inventory, like, well, that reminds me of sin. That reminds me of this bad thing. I did this. I did that. Maybe just cleanse these things. There's no idols. There's no demons in them. There's nothing demon-possessed. I mean, maybe if you have decaf at your house, but there's nothing really demon-possessed there. And I was like, and you might just look through those things and just say, you know, that was a bad time. I want to get rid of that. I want this like that. And so we'll get rid of it and do those spiritual cleansing. But let this be a reminder. These things can creep back in because familiarity breeds a contempt. We start thinking this, we start thinking that, and we want to be sensitive to those things. So that's just what we do in our lives. I encourage you to do the same thing. But here it is. Weren't these things already gone? Asa knew they were there. But now he's making this covenant with the Lord. God is speaking to him. He says, man, I got to get rid of these things. Look at verse 9. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of the Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. 15 years he's been reigning. That's a lot of collectibles. It's a lot of things that are going on there. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep, and they entered into a covenant. Look at verse 12, another one. They entered into a covenant, an agreement with one another. And then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Okay, now they're getting a little too, now that's a lot of enthusiasm there. It's the overboard. You know, for the last 15 years, we've really been adding, let's cleanse it. Let's make a covenant with the Lord. Let's make a covenant. Brad, let's you and I make a covenant with the Lord. Let's make a covenant. Let's everyone make a covenant. We're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to seek him with all hearts. And anyone that doesn't, we kill for God. I mean, just, so there you can, you know, sometimes, I'm at prayer meetings. And after about 12 cups of coffee, man, there are some crazy prayers there, man. I mean, people are praying, God, I know if there's people on Mars, because we have pictures coming back that there's water vapors on the Mars crusts and maybe we can stuff like that. And maybe it's the venom of the sun, you know, whatever. I can do that. And maybe you died for them too. And I'm like, oh, Lord. And I said, this has got to come to an end. And so I start praying, God, help me with my fear of anorexia. For those of you online, you don't get the joke. Some of you have anorexia. Stop it. But, you know, like, and then everyone starts kind of chuckling. And I was praying with a guy the other day, and he's praying for him. I'm praying for him over the phone. He's in another state, confusion. And I start praying the Holy Ghost. Now I'm a King James guy, so it's the Holy Ghost. You knew King James, Holy Spirit. I know it sounds a little bit Holy Spirit, but I'm Holy. Those are the ghost stories I like to tell. So I start praying in the power, and I say, Lord, I just pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father. And then he just throws in Jesus' name. And I'm like, all right, all of you guys get together and help us out on this prayer. You know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he just starts laughing. You know, just I like doing stuff like that. Me and this brother, we have the same type of sense of humor. I mean, without even knowing each other, we have the same type of prayer sometimes. I'll have people over my house, and there'll be like six people there. And I say, thank you, Lord, for this meal. And I'm grateful for five out of the six people at my table. And things like, what? You can't do that. And I do the same thing as brother. So, you can get a little carried away. We want to make this covenant. But you see, that's how religious we are. It goes all the way back to the wilderness. It all the way goes back in there. They're like, you know what? We're gonna serve the Lord. We're gonna do everything. And Moses brings the commandments, and for the second time, first time he says, this party's over. Then he goes, gets the commandments again, tablets, comes back. And they're all like, yeah, man, we're gonna do it. We're gonna be worshiping God. And he says, here's my commandments. And God didn't say you gotta keep everyone. I mean, you gotta legalistically keep all this. People just said, we'll do it all. All right? What's the New Testament equivalent? Jesus says, do you understand everything that I've just said to you and what you're going to go through? And they all said, uh-huh. Well, sorry, they're from the Midwest. You betcha. Yeah, sure, you betcha. It's like, and Jesus goes on and says, well, you really don't know, but you will. Then when you read the New Testament epistles, basically all of them read, yeah, we know now. And so here, let's kill everybody? Let's just do that? Listen, many people have said it. I've said it. Many people say, I'll die for you, Lord, just like the Apostle Peter. You know what God really needs that I've discovered now that I've been here for 35 years and I didn't make it through preteen rapture and now I got grandkids and all this kind of stuff and I'm still here? God really doesn't need a whole lot of people to die for him. He needs people to live for him. I know people want to die for you. I can die for you because I'm done and out of here. I volunteer. Now, I pray for a lot of people who are in heaven now. I've seen a lot of people come to know Jesus and they die rather quickly and I'm just going, man, and I'm still here. I don't think it's fair, but I'm still here. And so it's just, okay, God needs people to live for him. And so here, God doesn't need you to go kill him for him. So they swore unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. Everybody knows this one. Let's make a covenant. How about tonight we all make a covenant to seek the Lord together, to seek the Lord together. We're not going to kill anybody after this. Don't worry about that. But just how about if we just stop there? Let's covenant. Let's do a spiritual cleansing in our own homes. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath that they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with all their whole desire, and was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about them. Now that's another verse. From their heart. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it in the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken down. Verse 17. Oh, you're looking at all this. Oh, covenant with the Lord. Even your mama. You told your mama she wrong. Your mama's wrong. She's got doing these things. Everybody, and she set herself up a queen and never took, you're not queen. I'm the king. The king's usually married to a woman. She's queen. You're not queen. You're out. But everyone just said, oh, she can be the queen. She can go. She's it. He says, no, mom, you're wrong. And he brought it into the house of God, the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. 15 years into your reign, you're doing this now? And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Chapter 16. Folks, you are witnessing not quite the parting of the Red Sea, but an amazing thing. We're going to get four chapters in tonight. Chapter 16. So maybe I spoke too soon. I said chapter 16, so at least we got that in. But so they had all this peace. You're going to serve the Lord. Look at the pattern here. Serve the Lord with your whole heart. Have a legal relationship, loving relationship. Do these things, and then what have we seen? Things can creep back in. You can start allowing things to come back in. Okay, all right. Don't condemn yourself. Just recovenant. Just recovenant. Say, okay, let's covenant. We're here now. We're here now. Let me get rid of all this junk. Let me get rid of these things that remind me of sin and these things like that. It might be costly because you know what? Sometimes we have spent a lot on sin. And I just really can't get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it and just don't, you know, what are you going to be reminded of? How much you paid for that sin? And then you see that pattern, do that spiritually. And then you make that covenant to just, let's just be rock solid. Let's just serve the Lord. No killing, no killing, no killing for Jesus. Let's covenant with one another. But understand accountability. Listen, do not come up to somebody and say, hey, I want to talk to you, man. Can you keep me accountable? It's like you coming up to them and say, hey, I can't get up in the morning. Can you call me? And, you know, because I don't listen to my alarm clock and, you know, I just don't, can you? And if I don't wake up, you know, it's your fault. Listen, accountability only works as much as you want to be accountable. When you confess your sins one to another that God may forgive you, you confess your sins, not me find you out. Confess your sins, take care of this, deal with this. That's what it means to be accountable. So if you're going to be accountable with somebody, now that you're walking around going, specs okay, spiritual eye, did you lose your first love? Let's go hunt it down. Did you leave it somewhere? Accountability means that you know somebody you trust, that you can come and you, and if God speaks to them, like we see with the prophets here and Obed and others, and they come in and talk to you, there's a warning. Make no mistake that God doesn't tempt us. God also warns us, by the way. We know that in Scripture, don't we? We know that in the book of James. We know that in Corinthians, that no one is tempted. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No one is tempted beyond that which is temptation upon any other man or woman. It's common to all. Temptation is common to all. Temptation is not sin. When you make a movement towards it, now you've conceived sin. You go full bore into it, you're going to bring forth spiritual death in your life. But you can repent of that. Romans 2:4, the kindness of the Lord leads us to repentance. Repentance. So now he gets prosperous. God is prospering just like this because you're following, you're going after me, you're doing all these things. Chapter 16, verse 1, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. That's what he did. You built siege cities. It wasn't like a full frontal attack. You built cities, you did your storehouses, and you did that whole buildup there. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house. And he sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Ben-Bashah, king of Israel, and he may be of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abel, and Mehem, and the storehouse cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off the building of Ramah, and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stores of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was a building. And he built therewith Gibeah and Mizpah. And at that time Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Wait a minute. Asa was no, he cleaned everything up. He relied upon the Lord. Look at all those who relied upon the Lord. And now he's not. Now you've got this kingdom, and I've seen that in people's life. They get a lot of money, they get a lot of wealth, they get a lot of success, maybe whether it be in ministry or personally in your own life. And all of a sudden, you think that you've got to be a guard and a steward over it, and you got to get shrewd and financial and all stuff. How'd you get all that in the first place? And so here, now I've got to do all these things to secure it. I mean, you know, God did all this, but now it's up to me. No. And he tells him straight up, he told him in the very beginning, he warned him years earlier, if you remain with me, if you walk with me, if you do these things, I'm going to be with you. Not going to be a problem. No sweat. You're going to have peace and all these things are going to come up. Doesn't mean that no one's ever going to challenge you. Doesn't mean there's not ever going to be a battle or whatever. There might be a testing of you. But God's going to fight your battle for it if you trust upon him. When you're rising up and the Syria's rising up, like, hey, look, a king of Syria, you don't want to do this. Let me tell you what God did back here with all them. It's not going to work for you. Don't do this. But if you must, bring it on. And just sit back with your, and watch the Lord work and use you and do these things. It says here in verse 8, we're not the Ethiopians and the Libyans, a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely on the, didst not, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes, listen, there's good news and bad news for each and every one of us here today. Verse 9 tells us, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. God loves you so much, folks. Verse 9 tells us that he'll never, that's the good news, he'll never take his eyes off you. That's also the bad news. If you don't want to walk with him, he's never going to take his eyes off you. Then Asa was wroth with his seer and put him in prison, in a prison house, for he was in rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Wait a minute, this was the godly, good king who put away things. The messenger comes to him like a warning. And you know, by all intents and purposes, the messenger, you know, the last messenger who came to him warned him, he goes, hey, this is great. Let's follow after this advice. So, hey, Asa, I just want to let you know, the Lord says this is a bad thing. You haven't relied upon the Lord. You could still repent, by the way. So what's he do? Put him in prison. Hey, those seek to live a godly life shall be what? Persecuted. And it might come from your own family of God right here. He didn't like it. And when you speak the truth and you try to miss that way, people might often not like that. But you still are responsible to be a messenger and do what God's called you. Look at verse 11. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 30th and 9th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but the physicians. Still? You're not going to seek the Lord? You're not going to cry out? No, looking, putting your hope in man. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in 140th year of his reign. What a miserable last couple of years of his life. And they buried him with his own sepulcher, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices prepared by the apothecaries' art. And they made a very great burning for him. You see, he did really, really good, but they're only going to remember the end of your life. What you do at your end of life is really what you're going to be known for. But you've got to live that life all the way for the Lord and really finish well. Let me make it as an example. When the Vikings go to the Super Bowl this season, and the Super Bowl is in our stadium here in the state of Minnesota, it will wipe away 4 Super Bowl losses and that disastrous 98 season against the Atlanta Dirty Bird Falcons when Gary Anderson went wide right and Belichick took a knee with 27 seconds. That'll all be gone. That'll all be gone when the Vikings this year go to the Super Bowl. Right. Or, like my pastor who poured his life into me for many, many years and crashed and burned, and he's teaching a Bible study. Praise God, he's still serving, but he's just a shell of a man. And to this day, when I go to pastors' conferences and they know what I did and how I served, and my ministry as an assisting pastor was to assist my pastor, whatever he called me to do. And I still get pastors and guys who used to be assistant pastors or senior pastors now go, wow, man, you really got burned, man. Like, I didn't get burned. Well, your pastor did this. I mean, I go, I love him, man. I was called to that. And even when I was pastoring here and he was going through the problems back in California and the things he did, we still reached out. We still ministered. I still love him, still cared about him. But even to this day, that's all they remember of him. Not the phenomenal great Bible teacher that he used to be. Not the guy who brought me to Israel and instilled in me and all those things. And the guy who taught me originally reach, teach, mend, and send. That's all they remember. So it's your choice. If you walk with the Lord, you're going to be like the Vikings this year in the Super Bowl. And it'll wipe away. But do you just want to have one big great event at the end of your life? That's a Samson life, having a saved soul in a wasted life. Samson, at the end of his life, he did more killing Philistines than other things. No killing. Do not walk away here. Pastor Chick wants you to kill. That's not what I'm saying. He did more ministry in that one act than he did his whole time when he barely walked with the Lord and did those things. I'm telling you, I can have a walk with the Lord. I can have all these great years of marriage. I can have all these kids and grandkids and do all these things. But, man, if I'm on the news or something happens and that pastor this and all this is and all this evidence and all these things pop up and all these things, it'll be like, and I'll use the name, it'll be like Bob Coy. I mean, almost 20,000 people going to the church at Fort Lauderdale. The guy was in all program stuff, and he just became a superstar within Calvary Chapel. But he had one full-fledged affair that we obviously know, but there's rumors of more. I don't know. He's selling used cars today in his home state. I'm going to try to visit him someday. Bob Coy, that's all he's known for now. Man, I want to be like the Vikings, man. Going to the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl's in Viking Stadium this year. That's what I want. Want it, Alex? But you know what I want? I want my tombstone to say, he made it good and well done, thy faithful servant. He's entered into his rest. And then P.S., I told you I was sick. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want to die of health. And I want to be go that way, man. And I want to be well. And that's what causes me to earn the right every Thursday, every Sunday to be here, to stand before you and be able to give you God's word. You know, there part of the problem was, if you didn't catch that, in that year in those reigns of Asa, they didn't have preaching and teaching priests giving them the law. They were just playing church. They were playing temple. They were playing synagogue, house of the ruler. You know, they were just playing it. There needs to be a continual feeding of yourself in God's word and being fed God's word. And that's why here, reach, teach, mend, send, systematically going through God's word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, in the clear delineation of God's word, dividing what right and wrong, what God says is right and wrong. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. Holy Ghost, come upon us, and may we just serve you and follow you.
You've been listening to Thursday Night Live from Calvary Chapel in St. Paul, Minnesota. I just want to say thank you for listening to this broadcast. You can join us each week at Thursday nights, Central Standard Time at 7:35 p.m. That's 7:35 p.m. Central USA Standard Time to join the service in progress with this live message. Calvary Chapel St. Paul, well, our desire is to reach and teach and mend and send and encourage you with the Word of God. You can listen in also to Sunday Morning Live at 10:40 a.m. USA Central Standard Time. These broadcasts will also be out throughout the week. Thanks for listening to Thursday Night Live.
Make me wild as the snow. Make me wild. Make me wider than snow. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me.